Welcome to the Not Sorry Art Podcast. I'm Sari Shrike, the artist and creator behind Not Sorry Art. I'm so excited to talk art and creativity with you, so grab a drink, grab a snack, and let's dive in. I also wanted to say that today's episode is sponsored by my book. I have a book coming out. I'm so proud of this, guys. The links are already up. I'll have them in the show notes. But the book is called Modern Still Life, From Fruit Bowls to Disco Balls. It is my take on a step-by-step painting book. I am really excited about it. Not only does it have like motivational tips and tricks to keep you going in your practice, but it also has clear and beautiful and full color breakdowns of the step-by-step process in my paintings. So I could not be more excited about it. If you wanted to check it out, pre-order it. It would help me more than you even know. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Not Sorry Art Podcast. I'm Sari. Thanks for being here. I'm so excited for y'all to listen to my two-part series on solvent-free oil painting. Today's part one and an interview with Natural Earth Paint founder and CEO, Leah Fanning. In this conversation, Leah and I discuss the story of her company and why she was motivated to create safe and eco-friendly alternatives to traditional solvents that don't sacrifice on beauty and performance. And don't worry, even if you're not a diehard oil painter, for you acrylic painters out there, we even take a moment to talk about their new line of plastic-free acrylic paints. Very exciting. I hope you enjoy this interview, and for more on my personal solvent-free journey and my oil painting go-tos, check out my latest YouTube video on this subject over on my YouTube channel. I include a full solvent-free demo, and I hope you guys check it out. Hi, Leah. Thank you so much for being here. If we wanted to start with a little bit of an introduction, I know I found you by reaching out through email, but I've also been lucky enough to see some of your YouTube videos that you've put out, and so I have been following a lot of that content, and I'm really excited for you to chat. But yeah, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself in a position to teach and help educate people on these safer alternative materials.
Yeah. Well, I didn't actually set out to create this business. I was just, it was just out of necessity because I had gotten pregnant with my first baby. And I was a professional oil painter at the time for about 10 or 15 years and using all toxic supplies. And that's what I learned in art school. And that's what I assumed you had to use to create really beautiful professional quality oil paintings. Right. And then I found out I was going to have to paint every single day of my pregnancy in a studio. Yeah. So that's what got me to start researching how have people done it for 100,000 years? And how did the old masters do it in the Renaissance and the Middle Ages and without using any solvents or any toxins or heavy metals? So I found a book about how to harvest your own pigments from nature and some old books from the Renaissance with old recipes, and just started from there and started creating all of my artwork using earth and mineral pigments and different ashes and soil and sand for texture and a whole bunch of different natural elements to create my paintings, and did that for about a year before I had the idea to create a business out of it. Once I realized almost no one at the time knew about this. There was nothing online. There was no Instagram or anything. So there was nothing to educate people. And so I just felt like I needed to spread the word that you could use these natural, truly non-toxic supplies, and it created paintings that were even more archival and more resistant and more radiant than synthetic toxic supplies.
Yeah, I love that. Out of necessity, as so many good ideas usually come from. And I love that you mentioned that, because, you know, kind of the predicament for me hesitating to use oils was because I always knew that there was like toxic elements to it. I didn't know if it was the paint or the solvent or the mediums. And so the whole thing kind of threw me off. I, you know, had my first child right out of college, and I was painting, and our apartment was so tiny, and I didn't want to risk you know, having an oil painting practice in a tiny space with no ventilation and small children. And so I gravitated towards acrylic paints. And acrylic paints are safer, I think, environment, like for your own personal environment. There's no fumes, or at least not as much as having a solvent. However, the trade-off, something that I learned kind of later, unfortunately, is that acrylic paint, if not disposed of really, really intentionally, is toxic for the environment because it's bound together with plastic. And so I found myself with this predicament where I felt like I was choosing between my health and the environment, and it was all really overwhelming until I discovered painting solvent free. And it was actually in my journey to educate myself on that I found natural earth paints, and I ended up loving a lot of all the different things that you guys sell and feature. You have glitter, and it was refreshing because I saw this a company that was dedicated to safety but also didn't want to sacrifice vibrancy. And I'm not saying that all natural paints want to, it's just sometimes the aesthetic of being, you know, all natural, it can feel limiting. But I felt like natural earth paints did not have that problem. And not only that, but you guys sell glitter, and like at that point I was like completely in love and smitten. You have my heart. I am a color and glitter girl. But I'm curious, like, what, you know, whenever you started the company, because I know you glossed over it because it's part of your journey, but that is no small feat. Like, what were you trying to focus on when you set out, and how much in the forefront of your mind was maintaining that vibrancy and color when you were starting?
Well, it was number one because that was my entire livelihood. I fed myself and my family with the sale of my paintings. And so I needed them to be super high quality, professional quality paintings. And I'd always gotten headaches and body aches and strange symptoms from solvents, but also fumes from my acrylic gesso and almost everything, varnishes, everything was causing me health problems. And the heavy metals that were in the main oil paints that most of us use, the cadmium, red, yellow, cobalt, blue, lead, white, all of that, which I later in my late 30s did a heavy metal test, and my blood is filled with cadmium, cobalt, and lead. So, it was definitely the journey from discovering all of that.
To where we are today. Well, and it's hard to kind of find the information on it even now. Even in the last few years, I feel like that people have started writing books, and obviously y'all do a great job on social media, reaching out and educating. But I feel like I can't imagine how hard it was years ago to sort of learn this. But one thing I'm really intrigued by, something you said earlier, was that there was these, it sounds obvious when I say it now, but the great archival paint quality and these really old techniques that the masters had used. I'm curious what that process was like, and, you know, what books or resources really helped you kind of rediscovering these older ways of making paint and making binders that you were able to bring back into modern day and use as part of your business.
Yeah, I mean, pigments are amazing. The natural earth pigments in particular, the reason that they're so much better than synthetic modern day pigments is that they're irregular in size. Mm. They're not synthetically made and all the same monochromatic. They're irregular. So when light hits your painting, it bounces off in all different directions and creates this beautiful luminosity. And when light hits a synthetic paint, it just bounces straight back. So not only that, but the earth and mineral pigments are UV resistant and humidity resistant, and synthetic pigments aren't. And they last forever. I mean, hundreds of thousands of years. They've been found earth pigment factories in caves in South Africa that are 100,000 year olds with bowls of pigments, and they're still beautiful and luminous. So
love that.
But yeah,
that really stands the test of time. And if you want to talk about archival, that's like the gold standard.
Exactly. I know. But yeah, they simply just mixed some type of binder, usually a plant binder, a gum binder, or an oil or fat binder with the pigment. And it just lasted the test of time. And yeah, there was I'm sure people were out there doing it, but since it wasn't on the internet or anywhere that I could access 12 years ago, I couldn't find almost anything. I just had the most wonderful experience, and the colors are incredibly radiant. They're not just browns and yellows and grays, but, you know, bright ultramarine blues and purples and greens and micas and gold and copper. And so, I was sold completely.
I love that. I love that it's, you know, the luminosity of the color is in the forefront of your mind. You know, getting back to kind of the solvent-free practice, I never know if I can call it solvent-free, because one of my hero products that made transitioning away from like a Gamsol possible for me was actually the EcoSolve. I first started by trying the oil method, and I will still sometimes use oil cleansing in my practice, but I tried spike oil, and they say it's much better than a solvent, but I found the odor to be pretty, I'm kind of sensitive to odor anyways, pretty pungent. And then I found EcoSolve and it solved my problem. Slip there, but you know, it's such a great product, and I'm curious if you could tell me a little more about it. I'm a fan. I could ramble about it, but I want to hear from you. How did you think to use this, and what are some of the benefits for using EcoSolve?
Yeah, that was one thing I couldn't solve in the first few years of my business, because they didn't use any solvent, you know, back in the day. So it's a more modern invention. And I really loved using a solvent to do washes on the canvas, do drips. I do a lot of drips in my like watery looking drips. So, and I also, it just cleans the brushes better than using just oil. It's just, and it also restores them if you let them soak.
Right.
So there are a lot of benefits to solvents. So that's, I actually found another company that I collaborated with who manufactures it for us. And it's essentially soy oil that's had the fatty acids extracted, and it's processed with soy esters. So it's 100% soy.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's technically an oil, even though it feels watery and looks watery like a normal solvent.
Works like a solvent. Totally.
Yeah. Behaves like a solvent, but is an oil. So you can take it on airplanes. You know, it doesn't have all the warnings and hazardous things that a solvent does because it's an oil.
It is, you know, this is going to turn into a commercial. I apologize, but it really was like a breakthrough product for me. I was kind of searching for everything. You know, we have a really big Jerry's where I live, and so they have a ton of different things you can try. And I, you know, spent probably definitely hundreds of dollars trying to find a good alternative, you know, kind of experimenting with everything. And if it was like low tox, it was lots of odor and back and forth. And yeah, what I love about it is, you know, it does a great job, like you said, performing as, because I, at this point, was painting solvent-free completely. I was using oil and cleaning with Murphy's and, you know, having that whole thing. And I had kind of learned to adapt. But what I really missed doing was that, like, you know, that Terps layer where you do that wash and you do the underpainting. And I fell in love with acrylic first. So I like painting fast, and the all oil was just like totally getting in the way. And I kind of was like going to give up. And then I ended up finding it, and it was such a hero product. And I recommend it all the time, but you know, it does have like the lightest scent. So even if you're scent sensitive, for me anyways, it totally works out. You know, I want to talk about other hero products and the varnish that y'all have. I'm curious, you know, about kind of the origin of that, and yeah, similar story. Curious.
Yeah. So yeah, the natural varnish, I tend to work with a lot of collaborators and chemists and different other people that can help me develop our products, since most of them don't exist yet in the world. So we have to do a lot of back and forth R&D to get what we want. And the varnish, I worked with a man who was an expert in ancient and more original Renaissance recipes for varnishes.
Oh, cool.
So we started from there, and then just move forward trying to formulate a varnish for oil paintings or all paintings, pretty much everything in general. And so it's just a really nice blend of oils and resins and essential oils, and has some shellac in there. And it's a whole like lovely recipe with all plant-based, basically edible ingredients. Oh, wow. And it works great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I, again, because most varnishes have solvent in them. And I understand that it has to dry and all of that. But yeah, I was super impressed. And it dries about as quick as like an acrylic varnish does, which was really nice because if you're doing it outside, you don't want, it's just a whole, yeah, it's a fantastic product. And, you know, kind of the last, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was saying that lots of woodworkers love it because it dries so fast. And so it's actually growing really big in the woodworking field too.
Oh, that's fun. Are there any other sort of, I guess it's not off label, but any other uses from your products that you're ever like surprised about?
Oh yeah, all the time. Oh my gosh, we get the craziest emails of like fish carcass printing and like Indian holy pigment dances, you know, just so many different things. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well, when you have like your own niche in the market, that it kind of opens you up to those things. I love it. One thing I'm really curious for you to talk about, something that I haven't yet tried, but I'm very excited about, is your acrylic medium. And I think you've actually recently, correct me if I'm wrong, come out with tubed acrylic painting or paints. I'm curious, is it not plastic based?
Yeah, it's the way it is different from conventional acrylic is that instead of a petroleum based resin, it's a plant, 100% plant based resin. And instead of synthetic pigments, we use natural pigments. And instead of a whole host of carcinogenic additives to give the different properties, we use non-toxic additives to give it the same properties, bio-based non-toxic additives. So it behaves it's manufactured in the same way, so it behaves exactly the same way and has the same longevity and the same archival and quality, but it's different ingredients basically.
That's amazing. I've worked so hard over the years to get my oil practice down, and like I'm not kidding, like I am, if acrylic paint, I mean, I'm saying this now, like, was it made of plastic, I would stick with it forever. I love acrylics. And so I'm like rethinking everything. But I'm curious, like, did people kind of complaining long enough about like wanting an acrylic, what inspired you to create that, the acrylic base and now the acrylic paints?
Exactly that. We started 12 years ago, and I want to say in maybe year two of the business, we started getting email after email from people asking, do you have a natural acrylic paint? I have sensitivity to the fumes.
Yeah.
And that was new to me because I had assumed that acrylic paint, you know, is bad because it's plastic and going down the drain. But so many people were telling me about the fumes. If it got on their skin, they'd have a reaction. They couldn't breathe it in. And also just the environmental aspect of it. But so that was, as the emails just kept coming in consistently, even though I was an oil painter, I realized this is a product that needs to be made. And so about 5 years ago, I really jumped in and started working with different chemists to try to figure it out. And it was the trickiest product I've ever tried to work on. And it took about 8 different chemists to get it right. Because I would reach a point with one chemist and then we just couldn't get it to work. But we got a little bit further, and then I'd go to a different chemist and get a little bit further. And so it was incredibly frustrating to fail basically hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in order to create this product, but I'm glad we stuck with it in the end.
Me too.
We just released them a few months ago.
Yeah. I stopped and I like reread the, I was like plastic free. It was wild. It's kind of one of those, like, and this is how much of a paint nerd I am, but like, I was on the, like drinking my coffee on the couch. Like I remembered when I saw it, cause I've been looking for it forever, but I mean, truly kind of given up on the idea that that could, I was like, well, you know, acrylic is plastic. So I'm curious though, you know, I would be interested if you ever even just wanted to talk about that, like on its own, because I'm so curious of the process. But, you know, you kind of are in a tough position because you're demanding a lot from these products, you know, for example, a plastic-free acrylic, and yet you're having to push back because of how, like, precious artists can be. I'm trying to find the right word. It's not a bad thing, but artists can be very temperamental about even subtle things like texture and workability. Mm-hmm. And obviously you have the archival aspect to it. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, what is that process like for you, having to kind of come back over and over and over trying to perfect something? And do the chemists ever get like frustrated?
Yes, they absolutely do. They're like, just release it. And I'm like, it's not perfect yet. But yeah, just being an artist myself, I know what I want and I know what other people want. And so that's why it took so long, basically, is because it just wasn't perfect and it wasn't perfect. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And I've only been tinkering with it because I haven't gotten the paints yet, but I wanted to have something to mix my glitter in to do like a glitter top layer. I do, you know, painting underneath and then glitter on top. And yeah, so far it's been fantastic. I'm curious, this is probably a no-brainer, but can you mix the acrylic paint and medium is pretty, you can only use it with acrylic kind of products. And then oil is very separate. There's no crossover still.
Well, lots of oil painters will do their underpainting in acrylic.
Right.
And then they paint oil over. So lots of people do that, and our acrylics work perfect for that too.
Right. Yeah. And just the takeaway is it can't go the other way around. Right.
The other way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those important things to kind of remember. And so I guess my next question is like, do you have any like tips or advice for someone who, you know, they're wanting to go kind of solvent free? Maybe they don't want to give up the vibrancy. Like I'm sure you've heard people's story over and over throughout the years. Like, are there any key takeaways you've heard or from your own personal experience that you would impart on someone who's like just starting that journey? If they're painting conventionally right now and they want to get more natural, like, do you have any tips or best places to start?
Yeah, well, for oil painting, I would start with eliminating the solvent and eliminating the heavy metal paints that they're using. So just don't use cadmium reds or yellows or oranges or cobalts or there's lists online of just the key heavy metal paints. I would just do what you can to just completely get rid of those. I can tell you from personal experience.
Yeah. And you have to be careful because sometimes they're in blends too, because they have the marketing name. And so you may not know that cobalt blue or cadmium is in it. So you have to like, you know, not everyone's kind of into like reading all the pigment stuff, but you have to be careful because I know I eliminated cadmiums and I eliminated the obvious, you know, cadmium. And yeah. And then I found out later, which maybe it was obvious, but that sometimes they would be used in blends. So you have to be really mindful to like read your labels and understand all of that.
Yeah. And there are synthetic pigment paints out there, you know, of very primary reds and yellows that they're synthetic, but they're at least not heavy metal. So that's that's one step, you know, switch to synthetic primaries. And then, definitely eliminate the solvents. I've interviewed so many artists that even came close to death from solvent inhalation. Even if they were wearing a respirator, they absorb it through their eyeballs and their skin and having bone marrow transplants. And
oh my gosh. So,
I would definitely do whatever you can, either just start with the EcoSolve or just eliminate solvents altogether and use any vegetable oil to clean your brushes and walnut or linseed oil to thin your paint.
Right.
So that's one step. And then gradually you can incorporate, if you wanted to incorporate our oil paints. We have a complete eco-friendly oil paint kit that has 10 earth and mineral pigments and a small bottle of walnut oil and small bottle of EcoSolve and some instructions.
Oh, nice.
So some people start with that to mix their own natural oil paint. And the benefits of mixing your own is that you don't have any additives or preservatives or solvents in the oil paint that can commonly come in the tubes.
Right.
So it does take more time, you know, to make your own, but you could mix a lot if you want to and put it in a lube, or you can just mix a small amount, which is, I do that quite a bit. I just mix a small pile. I know that it will stay wet on my palette for about a week. And that's probably about how long I'm going to be working on that particular painting.
Nice.
So I just leave it out. And, and those oil paints mix perfectly with your conventional synthetic oil paints too. You can incorporate in just a couple colors. And we also sell the pigments in bulk or small amounts. So lots of people will get the complete eco-friendly oil paint kit first, and then they'll just buy, you know, a pound of gold mica or 3 ounces of French turquoise or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's, I love that you guys have kind of those intro packs that are helpful because, you know, even if you're an artist and, you know, you're used to kind of digging through paints and stuff, it can be overwhelming, especially when you're doing something like shifting over to a whole different kind of style of painting a little bit. Also, yeah. Side note, the, you know, on social media, it does really well when you have the paint mixing video. So I feel like if you've ever wanted to do that, like this would be a good opportunity. I love watching people like, is it mulling the paint?
Yeah.
Beautiful. It looks so good and creamy and wonderful. But I wanted to kind of go back on something. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, as I said, you don't necessarily have to have the glass muller. Okay. Lots of people will just use a palette knife, mixing the oil and pigment with a palette knife and kind of use the same motion as a glass muller. But then other people want to make absolute sure that every single particle is coated in oil, because if there is air pockets in your oil paint, it possibly could crack on your painting over time. That's one reason that people will do the mulling, just to make sure there's every single air pocket is gone. But it's very meditative and lovely.
Very zen and beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. I know you could totally, I've recently gotten down the wormhole of like paint nerd, like where you learn about how to make a lake pigment and all that. And it's so cool. I feel like you could get lost in that world forever. But I did want to touch back a little bit, you know, not to drone on about it, but like of the health kind of consequences. I feel like that's one thing, and I'm curious your thoughts, that doesn't always get, at least not in art school, and I would say even to some degree in art supply stores, of like the health and safety risks. And I think it's because, like, you know, you watch so many documentaries of artists and, you know, they're painting without gloves and it's kind of rock and roll. And, but then of course, at the end of all these art documentaries, it's like, and they died of, you know, some horrible cancer that's related to their pigment and paint. And so I think it's important, without like scaring people, to sort of impress that, like, you know, you have to be kind of an advocate for your own safety with supplies, and everyone has different thresholds. You know, I know I had a grandma who lived to be a smoker way into her 80s, and, you know, everyone is different and everyone has different thresholds, but I think it's really important to sort of advocate for like researching, because I didn't even know that acrylics had fumes, but I also know people who have gotten contact dermatitis, I think, through acrylic paints, through exposure. And these are things I've learned in the last couple of years that I had no clue in college, and I was so haphazard with my paints. And, you know, I'm curious kind of your thoughts on like being a good advocate for yourself as far as your health.
Yeah. Acrylics, which I learned recently, or when I first started the research project, they have, you know, the petroleum based, mm-hmm. but really that's not the most toxic part of them. It's mm-hmm. the additives. There's so many carcinogenic additives.
Wow.
They're added into it that give it certain qualities and make it flow better, or keep the pigment from separating, or preserve it longer. Or yeah, there's all these different things that you want in your acrylic paint. And so that is why I say that acrylic paint is the most toxic paint out there.
Wow.
Because of additives. Yeah.
Wow.
So you definitely need to be careful, and I, especially in your 20s, you know, when you're young, you can paint with tons and tons of toxic stuff and you might not feel it at all.
Right.
But you will feel it in your late 30s, 40s, 50s. So it's super important. I know none of my art school student friends used any protection, and they're feeling it now, and they're having health consequences now like I did.
Right.
So yeah, even though you're not feeling anything sitting in your room with the windows closed and you're absorbing it right into your bloodstream. And as soon as anything touches your skin, it's going into your bloodstream.
Exactly. So. Yeah. No, that's such, I think it's such a great message to get out. And, you know, you got to be careful, because you don't want to, you know, it's not, you don't want to scare people. But I also think, especially while people are young, you know, making sure that people are aware and, you know, making sure it's at least on their radar, I think is incredibly helpful. But kind of transitioning over to cleanup, because, okay, so we have with paints, we have being safe and protecting ourselves. And then we also have the environmental component. You know, I'm curious what role that took in you developing your products and, you know, what are some of the perks of using natural pigments in the cleanup process and disposal process?
Yeah. Well, oil paints are just so great because it's literally dirt and oil. So yeah.
It is from the earth. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can dispose of it down the drain or in your trash, and it's very, very easy. The EcoSolve is, it's more of a, it's a stronger substance. I liken it to essential oils. Mm. You know, essential oils are strong. You yes. don't want to drink a bottle of essential oils. So it's a powerful liquid. So we usually have people just do that reuse thing that you do with turpentine, where you have your dirty jar of solvent, you let it settle, and then you yeah. pour out the clean, keep reusing it, and just wipe the sludge out of the bottom and throw that in the trash right. and keep reusing your EcoSolve. And it can go down the drain because modern day septic systems can clean that,
right.
but it is a strong substance, so we recommend not throwing a ton down the drain.
Yes. Be mindful of yeah. the amount that you do. Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty much all of our products, our natural watercolor kit is completely plant and earth-based. Our varnish is completely plant-based. Our eco gesso is earth and mineral-based. Pretty everything.
Yeah.
Really rejoins back to the earth when you dispose of it. So,
yeah, well, if you're anything like me, and like a lot of my gravitation towards being more eco-friendly is because I know that I tend to be a little lazy, and I also want to be really good for the environment. I feel like it's probably a safe bet to go with things that, if you know, you aren't like, because with my acrylics, I have to go through step after step after step to clean it up because it is so bad for the environment. You know, it sounds like if you don't want to have to deal with that headache, you know, save exactly. yourself the money, time, and energy and get stuff that can go back into the earth without, you know, causing yeah. catastrophic damage.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I remember back in my art school days that, you know, we knew that you had to take this to a hazardous waste dump, but no one did.
No, I know. So bad.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's tough because you're not putting out like an industrial amount of product, but I, you know, I also think that every little bit helps. And, you know, if you can kind of, and for me anyways, feeling less, I don't know, burdened by that is just really a great thing, especially because like over your lifetime, just like the health exposure, you know, you do build up your own footprint, even if it isn't a huge practice. But yeah, no, that's amazing to hear. There's not much to talk about. If it all goes back into the earth, no problem. But yeah, I guess with that, I just want to, you know, if you have any final thoughts to impart on our viewers about your company, about where they can find you, I'm going to link everything in the show notes. Your website, all the products that we mentioned are going to be highlighted in the show notes. But if you want to give any kind of parting words to anyone who's curious about your company, this would be your opportunity. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, I would recommend people go to our website, naturalearthpaint.com, because we have a huge resources section, and we have so many video tutorials on how to make different types of natural paint and just eco crafts for your kids and interviews with eco artists who've transitioned from using toxic supplies to natural and why they did it and how they did it. So there's a huge amount of information on there, and just reach out. We get questions, technical questions all the time through our email on our website, so we can help with any issues that come up. And one thing I wanted to mention too, that we're super passionate about, is packaging.
Yeah, I see that on your website. Yeah. You have the option to do, I think it's plastic free packaging, right? It's only like, yeah. It's an add on that you, it's only like a dollar extra, and you can, it, and then I actually will reuse the packaging. So it's pays for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a zero waste option for the pigments and the, our children's paint, which mm-hmm. is a, it's still a powder paint that you mix with water to make kind of a children's craft paint. But they come in just like a brown paper bag with hemp yeah. twine closing it shut. So no ink, no markers, no tape, no labels. So we sell a lot of that. But then all of our packaging in general is compostable and biodegradable and yeah. post-consumer recycled. And we use glass and metal jars mm-hmm. instead of plastic. And so that's something we're really passionate about and work on, because we know we are creating waste and using these resources. So it's, we're trying to do
That's such a great mission. I love that. And I'm curious kind of on my own personal, just personally, if, you know, I am accumulating a couple, not too much because I don't go through it too fast, but, you know, EcoSolve, the metal containers, is there, do you guys have like a buyback or a, you know, send back kind of option for those glass bottles and the metal bottles?
We've gotten that question before and we don't right now, but that's something it's on our list because that would be a good next step too for the zero waste program that we're doing.
Yeah. Even like a refill kind of, I mean, you've got it. You've done such a great job. You have a unique skill at that. So I will be listening for that. But yeah, again, I just want to say thank you for everything. Your hard work is, you know, so greatly appreciated. You know, I'm sure as a business owner, you're in the grind, but I just wanted to say like a tremendous thank you, you know, on the health front and then also on the environmental front. I just, you know, really, really enjoy talking to you and I'm grateful for what you and your company are doing. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for spreading the word.
Of course. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I want to give a huge thank you to everyone who left reviews recently. A huge thank you to @sleepypaintbrush. Thank you to Jeremy and thank you to Kayla B. Y'all's feedback means so much to me, whether it's a review or you message me or email me. I really appreciate hearing from you and how these episodes are resonating. And also it just lets me know what to put more energy into, what you guys are enjoying. So all around, a huge thank you. And as always, take care and happy creating.